Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the 8-Bit Adventures podcast. This is episode 284 of I forgot how to do the opening. Oh, no. Bringing you the latest and greatest geeky news of the week. I am your host, Sean Hayes, and oh, boy, it's been a week. So sorry for having to skip last week. It's coincidentally started immunosuppressants and just immediately got sick, of course. And so I sounded terrible. I'm still recovering from just seems to be a cold. But when you're on medication that suppresses your immune system, even just a cold takes longer to recover from, apparently. So. That said, you know, for the most part, feeling okay. I am going to have to do a written article update next week, as we will be on vacation. So my goal is to just try and just update a bunch of news items as I go, you know, and be able to just have something posted next week. We'll be away. So, hope everyone's doing well. On that note, hope everyone's been avoiding the, sort of wildfire smoke. You know, we've gotten air quality alerts the past couple of days. So hopefully, you know, it's sad. Like we just got all that rain and it's like, I mean, that's kind of what we need to get rid of all the smoke in the air, unfortunately. But what are you going to do? It's like, if the weather's actually nice, we get wildfire smoke in the air. And if it's not, then we're getting flooded out. So, yeah. Well, I've got a bunch of news to report this week. A lot of articles from The Verge just happened to work out that way. But some definitely interesting stuff in there, and we'll be ending it off on a bit of a sad note. So buckle up for that. So that said, I think without further ado, why don't we get right into this week's news? All right. Let's just get this. Oh, hang on. Let's get our topics up here on the list. So first up, The Verge reports that Blizzard will start offering some of its games on Steam. So in a move mirroring other companies that have their own launchers, Blizzard games will start becoming available through Steam. Now, whether this is it just launches Battle.net from Steam, I don't know. That's kind of how like Final Fantasy XIV works, is like, you can launch it through Steam, but then it just launches their launcher. But the first title will be Overwatch 2 on August 10th. Other titles have not been announced yet, but Blizzard did say that more info will be shared, quote, when the time is right, end quote. Yeah, I mean, whether they just move to everything being available through Steam or if it's just select titles, I don't know. There is speculation that Overwatch 2 is the first one because numbers are doing real bad. Is that, you know, everybody likes to talk about World of Warcraft bleeding subs and stuff because that's always, you know, the easy go-to of like, oh, WoW's dying, blah, blah, blah. But like the last earnings call, Overwatch 2, definitely on a downturn. You know, the sort of lack of the single player PvE mode, which was kind of the whole point of doing this game. You know, it turns out not being a thing anymore kind of soured a lot of people on it. So there's some speculation that might be why. Also, you know, if the Microsoft merger goes through, you know, Phil Spencer's philosophy of like, we want people to play our games anywhere. So kind of just moving in that direction, is part of that philosophy, market philosophy strategy. So we'll see. I think it would be neat for me to be able to have Steam say that like I'm playing World of Warcraft without me having to jump through hoops to like do that. But then also, I don't know if that means we would actually get native controller support for Switch Pro controllers that way. That would be cool because currently a lot of the stuff, so like Blizzard will recognize it as a Switch Pro controller, but then like a bunch of add-ons won't. And you'll have to like reverse buttons and stuff. My hope is that this will prompt people to update stuff so that it recognizes Switch Pro controllers properly, because yeah, that's available through Steam natively. Next up, also from The Verge, reporting that Corsair, you may know them from the makers of PC parts and accessories. Corsair is acquiring Drop, formerly known as Mass Drop, which is an online retailer that these days apparently currently focuses on mechanical keyboards and keyboard accessories. This will allow Drop to offer specialized Corsair and Elgato aligned products. Drop's previous endeavors include specialty keyboards for Lord of the Rings and Marvel. This includes they made like a Tengwar keyboard and oh geez, I forget what the dwarf runes are called, in Lord of the Rings. But essentially, they made like a runic keyboard and a Tengwar keyboard, with like specialty characters and stuff, that are, they're a pretty premium price. They're like $150 keyboards, as opposed to, if you just want a mechanical keyboard, you can probably get one for like $15, $20. But yeah, so this will bring it in line with Corsair's product offerings, and just bigger companies looking to capitalize on sort of specialty niche manufacturers, makers, and to diversify their portfolio a little bit or bring them in line. Next up. IGN reports that Limited Run Games has announced that it is remastering the Gex games with the Carbon engine and releasing them as a trilogy bundle. Nobody asked for this. I did have Gex 64, which I believe is the second game, Gex Enter the Gecko. And I actually really enjoyed it, they're not great games by any means. They're good. They're decent enough. Mostly known as a PlayStation series. But as I said, the N64 got one of the games. And actually, like that one, it got like more stuff because when they released it for PS2, like it kind of wasn't finished. Either PlayStation or PlayStation 2, I don't remember which one. Like it basically wasn't finished. And so like they finished it and then threw that stuff in the 64 game. It was like a bunch of extra levels and things like that. But yeah, I think this is fun. So it's a pleasant surprise. And because it's limited run games, there should be a physical version. But this bundle will be coming to PS4, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, Switch, and Steam. So, yeah. No word yet who is going to be the voice actor, or if they're just gonna use like if they're just gonna use Dana Gould, or if they're gonna do all of the localized voice actors. I'm not sure. There's also some hope, among folks that some of the banter and dialogue is sort of modernized a little bit. Just some of the references are a bit dated, some of the language used is a little dated, and kind of showing its age a little bit. Stuff that was, common slang that no longer flies today, really. Hopefully that gets updated. So we'll see. This might be a thing that I pick up just to go back and play it a little bit. Next up, so I have handhelds on the list here. This is a little bit of an unusual topic here because it's like handhelds and gaming is sort of tangentially related. Eurogamer reports that the Council of the European Union has passed regulations that portable electronic devices, such as gaming handhelds, but also includes like phones, must have batteries that are removable and replaceable by the user by 2027. So the intent is to make it easier for consumers to replace batteries, and to basically recycle them, in an effort to reduce waste and carbon emissions. So whether that means company and part of it is to also like adopt a sort of universal standard. I don't know if that was actually part of it that got passed. But it's I don't know if this means that like to force manufacturers to not use lithium ion batteries or and to go back to some sort of alkaline type of battery, which I don't know if that would even work for a lot of modern electronics, but or if it's just to standardize like to make a battery standard that devices will have to work or a couple different battery standards. That seemed to be the intent of like to make essentially a potentially, let's assume that it's still going to be lithium ion, but like a lithium ion replaceable version of AA's, AAA's, CD, cell batteries. Sort of make it easier for people to like, if something goes wrong with the battery, or if you have the device for enough length of time, that if you no longer want the device, or if the battery is bad by the end of the length of the device's lifetime, is that you can just take it out. You can bring it someplace, recycle it, and potentially like get a new battery to put in there. Because I guess part of the issue is that a lot of these batteries are just ending up in landfills. It's like people just throw the system out. Which, folks, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to throw out batteries. You're supposed to bring them to someplace to be recycled, because they are considered sort of hazardous waste. But also, there's like valuable metals in there too. So, I mean, even just regular little copper top, Duracell batteries. I mean, yeah, there. I mean, there's copper in there. That's valuable. So, the hope is that people will recycle them, and in order to do that, they have to be able to remove the batteries themselves. So, now, the stipulation for that is that it just can't require any proprietary tools or specialized tools that require you to go out and purchase a tool specifically for removing this. So, generally, the idea would be like if it required a screwdriver, like that's considered reasonable. So you could just put it in with like Phillips head or flathead screws. But you can't say like you can't basically pull an Apple, and put Apple didn't do this, but like they're known for having some sort of weird proprietary thing that requires you to go like buy a special tool or something in order to do this. Like you can't make your own screws that require a special screw head that only you sell. Like you can't do that. So yeah. Depending on, the type of controller, like some of the controllers that are available now, like technically already fall under this because I think the Switch Pro controller falls under it because it's just a matter of, taking the screws off, and then removing the battery. So, I also wonder if it will require, because it's for handhelds, like if you have to like unscrew and start taking like face plates off and stuff, if this commission will, like if this regulation will prevent your warranty from being voided if you have to do that. Because normally, once you start opening the case up, you void the warranty. I'm all for this. Having a battery standard, I think would be cool. And my hope is that it will force a little bit of, innovation in battery tech, maybe. And get people to recycle batteries. The cynical take is people will just not do it and eat the fine. So, because that's apparently what Apple did for a bunch of their phones for similar regulations, is they were just like, yeah, we're not doing that. We'll just pay the fine. So we'll see. Next up, Microsoft. So this is going to be a big one, folks. This is sort of multi-part. IGN reports that a judge for, so coming off the heels of the Microsoft versus FTC case, that a judge for the UK's Competition Appeal Tribunal, or CAT, has paused Microsoft's appeal against the Competition Markets Authority, or the CMA. What this will do is it will allow both parties time to negotiate further. They're both hoping this will give them time to work out a deal, which is open. So the CMA is open to negotiating after Microsoft's win against the FTC. So it seems sort of like they weren't, they wanted to wait and see how that trial ended up. Microsoft is hoping it'll give them some time. Basically, their thing is coming down to game streaming. So like streaming tech. If you've ever played a streamed game, so you don't have the game downloaded on your system. So like you are not using your console's processing power. If you're like streaming it from a server somewhere. That because Microsoft is heavily investing in that, and the CMA is concerned that apparently that's going to create some sort of monopoly, and like that's where the industry's headed. It's a weird hill to die on. I'm going to admit, because like at least for the United States, like game streaming is not super popular. Just due to how spread out it is and how disparate like high speed internet access is. Like you can get it in urban areas, but like it's almost non-existent in rural areas still. Whereas, in Europe, access to high speed internet is a little more standardized and a little more widespread, or well, a lot more widespread. So I guess like they're concerned is if they pick it up like and offering everything on Game Pass that it's gonna make game streaming, a sort of monopoly. Microsoft is hoping to negotiate that, whether it means that like just in the UK specifically, they spin out game streaming into its own agency or something. I don't know. But they're hoping to basically bring some terms that the CMA finds acceptable to allow this merger to go through. This does mean that they will likely miss their date for the acquisition. So I don't know what sort of ramifications that has, or if they'll be able to sort of negotiate like pushing it out further. So that essentially it doesn't fall through. Additionally, The Verge reports that it is now confirmed by Kari Perez, head of global communications at Xbox, that Microsoft and Sony have struck a deal to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation for another 10 years. Now, this is not as good as the deal that was first pitched to Sony, where it was a number of titles for 10 years. And Sony basically like kicked it back and said no, because I think Sony was hoping like that if they just sort of downplayed their market share and kind of poo-pooed, you know, themselves enough that the FTC would win their case. That didn't happen. And so now they like lost all their leverage against Microsoft, who came back and said like, yeah, so here's the deal. We'll give you Call of Duty and that's it. You know, and this is also, this is just a binding agreement, right? So in the future, you know, like once we're past 10 years down the line, I mean, if Phil Spencer's strategy, like proposed strategy of we want people to be able to play our games anywhere, like if that actually becomes reality, then it might not be a problem. You know, this is mostly Sony trying to ensure that they have some insurance that they won't get cut out. I don't know. I mean, Sony already was kind of shooting themselves in the foot when they started putting their stuff on PC anyway, like albeit much later, but I mean, yeah, I don't know. Their best stuff is already multi-platform, you know, if you're willing to wait a little while. So I don't know. You know, my guess would be this will be a thing where we see the pendulum sort of swing back, you know, in favor of maybe Microsoft. You know, because this is what happens is Sony gets complacent, basically. And then, you know, with the next one, you know, because I don't think, you know, the PS5 will suffer because of this. But like if the next one's the PS6 or whatever, you know, that might suffer. But who knows? You know, I mean, it's also been theorized that the industry is moving towards sort of incremental upgrades as opposed to big fleshed out console launches. Just with sort of like, especially with Xbox, where it's been sort of incremental upgrades and sort of like pro versions as opposed, you know, and like PS5 Pro as opposed to like PS6 or something. So we'll see. You know, I just think it's Sony's kind of shot themselves in the foot. We'll see how it pans out for them. Next up, Neopets. Do y'all remember Neopets from sort of turn of the century? Well, The Verge reports that the veteran virtual pet website announced it will launch into a quote new era on Monday. It's still around now with a unified website, refreshed website, updated games. So using an emulator to kind of bring back all the Flash games since you can't use Flash anymore on the web. Kind of updating them to use HTML5. And then there's going to be a mobile game titled World of Neopets where you play as a little pet instead of like you're caring for a pet. So yeah, they're trying to bring it back, revive it, freshen it up. I guess they were trying to do something with NFTs. They have assured everybody that like they've stepped away. They're not doing crypto or anything like that or blockchain or anything. I guess its parent company like shut down earlier this summer. Like just a couple weeks ago, the people who were at Neopets like convinced their parent company to let them buy it out. And so they've spun it out into their own independent company called World of Neopia Incorporated. And they're gonna do their thing. So yeah, definitely good on Neopets. I had a Neopet back in the day. 23 years ago. Oh. So yeah. If you're a millennial, might be worth checking out if you remember all your stuff. That's it. I don't know if they did some sort of account purge for, the multitudes of us who, stopped playing after a few years. But we'll see. Who knows? I it was a big deal to like buy a house in there and like set up your shop, and everybody was just trying to sell stuff to make more money and make your Neopets points and things. So yeah, definitely I had a list of games that I would play. And I was like, these are the ones that I want to do. Specifically to it was for me like the least amount of effort. And like it wasn't a lot of points that you got for playing these games. But like figuring out what was my least effort, most revenue type thing. So yeah. So we'll see. Kind of excited. We'll have to see if my of you know may have to just completely start over, start fresh. Who knows? All right, now finally we are on our last bit of news. So sadly, Purple Dragon Games, one of our local game stores up in Williamstown, is closing at the end of August. This was in a statement put out on Google Docs. Basically, the store owner, Nico White, explained, basically, the store operates. It's not even on a razor thin profit margin. It's just the store does not make a whole lot of revenue, let alone profit. He basically has a bunch of advantages, that, result in him being able to keep the store open, but he's paying himself like way below minimum wage. The current structure is his rent is just a percentage of revenue, as opposed to like having a set price. However, Williams College, who owns the property, sent him a thing that they are moving to change the rent structure to be just a market rate, because they're saying that it's, quote, not fair to the other landlords in that area, that they're essentially giving a business a deal. Which, I think that's bunk, but it's Williams College and I've got my own beef with them. So, and then, Nico, recently, took a trip to Tokyo, fell in love with it. So he's just looking to get out and move to Tokyo. So super sad. I love going to Purple Dragon Games. It's got a great community. It sort of defies like a lot of the horror stories that you hear of local game stores. But it was definitely sort of the epitome of friendly local game store. It just unfortunately just it didn't bring in the money, which is an all too common thing for local game stores. I can say, I can't say too much about there is an ongoing effort from the community to try and look at either new spaces or something to at least keep events going, but not necessarily a store. So to provide like Friday Night Magic and board game nights and D&D and stuff like that, but not necessarily have a retail space. Those efforts are ongoing. I can't really say too much more about it, because although I am sort of part of that group, just the broader group, I'm not one of the people in charge, so I don't know how much they want to divulge that information. But I can certainly find that out when I get back from vacation. And once I get information that I am able to share, I will share it here. And who knows, you know, might even be able to interview people or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. So, you know, just want to give a nice send off to Nico, to say thanks for having such a great space. It was nice to, you know, be able to, you know, chat with a fellow alum, you know, from time to time in the gaming space. And it will be missed. So that is going to wrap things up for this week. So thank you all for joining me. If you want to see more content from 8-Bit Adventures, you can check out 8bitadventures.com. That'll take you to the website. You can find links to this podcast, comics, all that stuff. If you would like to help support all of this content, you can become a patron over at patreon.com/8bitadventures. Over there, you know, patrons can support for as little as $1 a month, and you get access to all sorts of patron benefits, including there's like a patrons only channel in the Discord. Big shout out and thank you to all of my current patrons. Thank you for your continued support. And finally, our opening theme is One Up by Professor Shy Guy. You can find his work over at professorshyguy.bandcamp.com. So, as I said, no podcast next week, but there will be sort of a news wrap-up article again on the site, as I will be on vacation. And until next time, everyone, as always, have fun, happy gaming, and enjoy your pie cake.